what do you get when one of the earliest kaiju video games gets a silver screen adaptation with one of the biggest action stars from the wide world of wrestling? You get one of the most unexpected monster films to come out of Hollywood in a long time. But does this movie rock, or is it simply just starring a rock? This is Kaiju vs. History Rampage.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is an evil corporate villain straight out of the 80s, Miles. And joining me is the People's Champion with his pet monkey, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing?
Good, good. Yeah, we're talking about Rampage, which, you know, now that I'm looking at it, Miles, isn't it crazy that they just went with Rampage as the title? Like, I know it's the title of the video game, but it's a one-word title, and it just seems like studios are, like, allergic to those almost.
Well, the wild thing was, I remember when this movie was coming out, and I of all the video game movies to make.
Yeah, exactly.
This was one of them. And so, so little context. One, I mean, I think a lot of us grew up with this arcade or console game in their lives. I, in high school, worked at a movie theater, and we had a Rampage machine, like, right next to where I worked.
First 86 game, such a cool cabinet, very colorful.
It's got three great cabinet, but
monsters on it
forever. When the monster looks at the player in the kind of, you know, when you're just watching the screen happen, and it's, you know, before you put quarters in, and it raises its eyebrows, goes, her, before it starts climbing the building. Like, that is forever burned into my memory, because I would be sitting at the box office and just listening to that arcade machine, like 10 feet away from me. So we had a Rampage machine, and I spent plenty of quarters on that one. Did you play the game as a kid?
Yeah, and I think I played the second game, not to get, like, super far into the video game history, but there have been 7 or 8 Rampage games. The first one was a pretty, I wouldn't call it simple, but a pretty classic kind of arcade beat 'em up, and then the second one introduced more monsters, and I want to say there was, like, just more elements to the battle mode for the second game.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get this. The thing about and we can talk about the title whenever you want, Miles. But the thing about the title is, I was so surprised they didn't give it a subtitle. You know, of like
Monsters Among Us or some nonsense like that. Yeah.
All Out Kaiju or Monster Mayhem or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Because all the sequels to Rampage have a subtitle. There's Rampage Total Description. Rampage, I think World Tour maybe was the second one. I don't know why I can't find this right.
Yeah,
now.
Rampage was the Total Destruction was the N64 game, was it, right?
Yeah, there were some consoles, and then there's like three arcade.
I think what we had, we might have had a World Tour, but I'm almost positive we had a straight up 86 Rampage machine, because I'm looking at that cabinet now. That looks like what I played.
Yeah, I think I remember when World Tour, the second game, came out, because I was surprised, because I did enjoy the first one, and I think I probably played it at my dad was in, like, a bowling league when I was a kid, and I would just have to go and play arcade cabinets for, like, hours on end while he was bowling. I feel like I probably played the game, like, a million times then. But yeah, I was surprised, because that game had been around almost my entire life. And then in 97, when the sequel came out, I was like, why would they make a sequel to this game? It's so old, but it was a fun sequel. And then they made a couple more games, but they have not made a game in about 20 years
Rampage. I think they made a, like, video game adaptation of the movie, but, like, there's not been a proper Rampage
game
since 2006. Oh, so that's I'm there was a I think a mobile game or some nonsense.
Does that even count?
Yeah, no. I fully agree. The last game was Total Destruction in 2006, which is almost 20 years ago. Maybe if this movie was a bigger hit, we might have gotten another game. And this movie was a sizable like success. But I mean, before we get into all of that, Patrick, tell me in a title.
We talk about Rampage, the Warner Bros. Film. That, like I said, I was surprised it didn't have subtitles because it did in other countries. Maybe because Rampage isn't like a well-known video game quantity in other countries. I do think it probably was in Japan, but maybe it had a subtitle, the video game, in Japan as well. This came out in Japan as Rampage Kyojo Dairanto, or Giant Beast Brawl. The tagline for the film was tagged on to the title in places like Norway and Sweden, where it was called Rampage Big Meets Bigger. Terrible, terrible title and tagline.
That's awful.
Big Meets Bigger. And then Brazil did have a very video game title in the last video game, Rampage Total Destruction.
This is not a bad title for a movie like this.
Like I said, I am flabbergasted that it didn't have something like that because, I mean, when this movie came out, the last video game was 12 years in the past, and that one wasn't like it didn't set the world on fire. It was probably like on the Wii. It was on GameCube and PS2, and it made its way to the Wii. So that we're not talking about something that was like a time honored and cherished video game series. I feel like the cabinets were pretty well known, but it just feels like they would want to do something more than just Rampage with the title.
And it was a very American series. This was made by Midway. So this was something that was developed by Warner Brothers and Midway back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, I know they did exist everywhere, but this is something that is more distinctly American. And basically, so you played one of three monster protagonists. You played either George, a scientist who has become a King Kong-like gorilla. And that's a big difference between the game and the movie. In the game, all three kaiju are former humans. You have Lizzie, who has become a reptile after swimming in radioactive waste. And then Ralph, who has become a werewolf like kaiju after foolishly consuming a hot dog laced with an enhanced food additive. Love all of that. Also, the name of the wolf being Ralph is referenced in the film, which I very much appreciated.
Yeah. For some reason, they're like super devoted to the video game series and making references to the video games, which I was so confused by because it's like no one remembers these games. As a video game
adaptation, this is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing. They actually did a very good job as a video game film, which is surprising, but maybe not so much. And you know, you already kind of let the cat out of the bag. This movie did do pretty well in theaters, which maybe is surprising, maybe not, because pretty much everything Seven Bucks Productions has done has been gangbusters. So this is not everything starring The Rock, but it is The Rock's production company that he started with his, I think, now ex-wife.
And most of it is Rock. I'm looking at all the movies they've done, and it's like, almost every single one is somehow involving The Rock, with the exception of maybe
well, or would be eventually, because you know he helped produce Shazam, and then that entire time he's like, oh, I can't wait to be Black Adam.
Yeah, the Evel Knievel documentary that happened is like the only one that doesn't star The Rock.
Yeah,
I feel like.
Yeah, it's a lot of Rock, but it's like, hey, you can't blame this production company because he puts out a lot of bangers, a lot of box office summer movies, you know, the Jumanji series, the reboot. There's actually a bunch I have not seen from this list.
Yeah, big Black Adam fan, are you?
I actually really enjoyed it in theaters. I don't know how well it will play on the small screen.
Love Hobbs and Shaw. It's actually really high up in my Fast and Furious rankings. And I'm a big fan of he has a cameo role in this, but the Page movie Fighting With My Family with Florence Pugh is fantastic.
I really want to see that too now, but I will say that surprisingly, and we'll talk about this later, despite this doing very well, and they were potentially planning on doing a sequel, there's a little bit of sequel kind of seeding in this film. Despite this movie doing pretty well, this is not even like in their production ideas for future films for the company.
I think this is fun as a one and done. I really do.
Oh, it definitely is. But like when they're potentially doing a San Andreas 2, it's like, okay, all right, do Rampage 2 before you do Andreas 2.
I'm with you on that. There's no reason for a second San Andreas movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I came to. And I mentioned that because both this film, I believe, and San Andreas are directed by the same director, Brad Peyton.
Yeah, he did several movies starring The Rock as well.
Yes. And, you know, seems like they work pretty well together. This movie, as you said, does differ from the video games a great deal. This is animals turning into giant monsters through raining space genetic experiments. Works fine as a plot. I love the design of the video game characters. Mm-hmm. And they're so simple. I wish we had gotten a little bit more anthropomorphized monsters in this movie. They went very
fully agreed. I think George is the only one that gets that.
Yeah, I mean, George is already an ape, so he looks very similar to his kind of video game counterpart, except for some very man, every time I go to quote Skull Island, that movie gets better in my mind. There's so many great quotes in that movie. I do like they kind of palette swapped some of the monsters here, and George is now an albino ape, really makes him stand out mm-hmm. a good deal.
Yes.
Whereas Ralph was kind of gray, kind of blue in the video game, because, you know, they're trying to make it a little bit more realistic.
Movie because they all kind of are the same color almost.
Well, yeah, that's one of the reasons they decided to make him white as well, to really make him pop against the other two monsters. But these are monsters. These are kaiju, because they also have some special abilities. Like, for some reason, Ralph is part like flying squirrel. He's got like membranes around.
I know there's a line, because I missed it this time. There is a line about how they also like were using other animals' DNA.
Yes.
And so, like, because he has like the porcupine quills and stuff, and then like the Izzy has like
tusks, like a warthog,
and some sort of vocal situation. I wish we spent more time with the monsters. Like, you get the one kill sequence with Ralph, which is great. You obviously spend a lot of time with George, because
and Joe Manganiello in that scene for like a minute.
Which, like, I love that, because you feel like, oh, Joe Manganiello, he's going to be like one of the main guys. He's probably going to end up fighting The Rock at some point. And it's like, nope, he is dog chow.
Psych.
I loved that. Yeah, so we open up this idea that, like, you know, The Rock, for some reason, is a primatologist who used to be like some sort of like army, like black ops, like redacted mm-hmm. upon redacted special forces guy,
David Sequoyo turned to primatology.
Yeah, and
that makes perfect sense. It's like, it's the most Rock movie logic, but I love it.
It is. We also have a very small appearance by Jack Quaid, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's so crazy, because he's so famous now, but like didn't even like rate for me that he was in this movie when I saw it.
I think around this time he was starting to do things. I remember mm-hmm. noticing him. This still was before Scream 5.
Oh yeah, no, this is before The Boys. This is before
This is early in his stuff popping up. But like, I was starting to track him, and mostly for his comedic chops. And he's very funny in the few scenes he has here.
Yeah, I mean, he could have been in the entire movie. But when did you see this film first? Did you see it kind of when it came out? Or
I saw it as it came to video. Yeah. I didn't see this when it came in theaters, but I saw it as it was coming out at home.
I will tell you where I watched this, and it was the perfect place for this kind of movie. I watched it on an airplane, and I could not, you know, I had nothing else to do. I like didn't have a charged device or a book or anything. So I was like, guess what? We're watching Rampage with The Rock. And it is, and it was also like the perfect time for the flight is like ending, like as we were landing. It was great. It was a great experience. And maybe that colored my enjoyment of this film a little bit. But
we have the stuff crashing down. We have this whole sequence at the beginning of the movie of like a super rat.
Completely not needed. The whole space sequence is like so superfluous.
But it's such a video game beginning. Like that's what I love about it. It's such an arcade. Like this is the sequence you're watching before you put your quarters in. I love that.
It felt like a Marvel movie, like hardcore. And it's like, oh, this character just dies. Okay, weird.
But like, so we have like, all right. So these canisters that they were trying to secure. Mm-hmm. Falls in three different spots in the world, which happen to all land like North America, in the Florida swamps, in Montana, and in this like California zoo. And so we learn that The Rock is like, you know, best friends with this albino gorilla, and that gorilla gets infected by this pathogen and starts growing, obviously overnight becomes aggressive and is not himself, and the government steps in.
It's a plot point that I actually do enjoy is for the most of the rampaging of this film, George is like not really in control, so is like even a threat to, I'm just gonna keep calling him The Rock.
Yeah,
his best friend,
Rock the Dwayne Johnson.
But yeah, that changes in our final, the last part of the third act.
As much as it's easy to give The Rock, you know, junk now because of, you know, some of the stuff that's happened behind the scenes in some of his movies, I've often been a lifelong fan of The Rock, you know, from the wrestling days, and even this movie, like, I actually really like his performance. I like his character, who does genuinely care about George. And yes, it's very much Rock logic, but Rock, it's also
logic.
But it's also like, I think he has the perfect foil in the real star of the movie to me, which is Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who is one of the most charismatic actors alive. But like him pulling that kind of Southern, like little swagger. Oh, no one told you about the 30-foot wolf. Like
when the replacement Jim from The Office dies at like the end of the film, he just gets squashed by like an air conditioning that falls off the building. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan's reaction of like, oh, that was intense. It's just like they just forgot to turn the film camera off, and he just like they just captured a JDM moment. Yeah,
yeah.
It did not seem like he was acting at any point in this
film. He has always gotten great roles. Like he does get good roles or is important roles. You know, Thomas Wayne in Batman v Superman, the comedian in The Watchmen, Negan in The Walking Dead, obviously Papa Winchester in Supernatural. Like he's been in important roles in many things, especially in the nerd sphere. And he's done a lot of great dramatic work too. But like, I also feel like he's like one of the most underrated actors out there. Like, if you want someone who's just going to ooze charisma all the time, just call up Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Like, he's got the look. He can he can turn on the swagger in an instant. And, like, he does that in this. Because, like, at first you kind of feel, oh, is he kind of a bad guy character? No, he's just kind of a...
No.
No. And like, it's great. This movie, for me, lives and dies on the shoulders of Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
He's great. And I'll tell you what, this is the role The Rock was born to play, because
100%
majority of the time he's just talking to a green screen and he has rapport with a CGI monkey. You know, he has a legit relationship. And there are actually a lot of good actors in this movie. Naomi Harris plays the genetic engineer who, you know, is kind of responsible for this. And she is, I mean, people probably know her best.
Wasn't she Shriek and Let There Be Carnage?
Yeah, well, yeah, people do not know her from that, but they know her as Moneypenny from the latest James Bond films. She's a British actress, and you wouldn't wouldn't guess it here.
Wait. Did you see Moneypenny before the movie that she was nominated for an Academy Award for?
Yes. people watching Rampage and listening to this podcast know Bond before.
Okay. Oh, you know what? Fair enough.
What did she win for?
She didn't win. She was nominated for Moonlight.
Oh, right. Yeah, well,
that very, was, very, very popular.
That was after this film.
No, it wasn't.
Moonlight? When was Moonlight?
2016, bruh.
Oh, wow. That was forever ago. That was the one where they mixed up the Oscar, right?
Yes.
8 years ago? 9 years ago? Jeez Louise. Okay, yes. Well, you are... So wait, she was nominated for an Oscar and then did Rampage next year.
That always happens. Someone gets nominated for an Oscar and the look. When Michelle Yeoh won the Oscar and then did Section 31. So
both of them did Section. Isn't what's her name in that movie too? You know, also from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah. Technically, that's like a cameo at the end. It's like a. Blink and you miss it. No. They're not in the movie. It's this happens as the movie's ending.
I haven't even seen it. So, yeah, boy, howdy. There's a lot of interesting stuff that happens in this movie. I will say, you know, we've talked all about the cast. Very, very good cast. This movie has a very good action pace. Like, I think movies like this, these summer blockbusters, you do need a set piece, an action piece to keep your audience awake like every 15 to 20 minutes. And this movie does that. And it has actually good ones like George destroying the airplane is one. And I forget if that happens before or after Ralph taking out the helicopter in the woods, but they're all just like very well spaced apart. And then you have, of course, the giant literal building destruction, very much like the games at the end of the movie, which is just a string of very fun action sequences. Like you said, it's a good adaptation of the video games. It's a pretty good kaiju movie. I liked the designs of the creatures. I just feel like they didn't do near enough with them.
I fully agree with that.
They introduce the idea of Lizzie maybe halfway through the film, but
and you don't see Lizzie again until the end sequence,
and then it's just a surprise and it's like, oh, there's a third one. It's like, oh geez. And I didn't
even though
I
you saw an alligator eat the canister.
Oh yeah. I didn't enjoy Lizzie is like four times larger than both Ralph and George. It gives them kind of an imbalance, you know. I really wish they were all just real big bruisers. I think her size was good.
That's part that goes with the game because like each one has their different like skills and stuff. Yeah. I also like that they're super large, but they're not like fully Daikaiju large. They're like Kong large, like they climb buildings and stuff, which is again part of the game.
This takes place in Chicago, and they full send. They take out the Sears Tower or whatever it's called now, I forget, and they climb it to the very top and topple it down in a pretty great action sequence. I was pretty impressed because that's what I want from a kaiju movie is, hey, go ahead and just go to New York and 9/11 fears be damned. Just show kaiju absolutely obliterating New York.
Right,
it's what everyone wants. Or, you know, some other similarly large city.
A city with like landmarks.
Yes, exactly. And at the very least, I've activated Siri on my phone, is, you know, what we get in this movie. They show Lizzie coming through the Chicago River. They show a lot of historical sites around the city. And obviously the centerpiece being the tower at the end worked pretty well. There is besides the studio, another tie between this movie and Kong Skull Island. Jason Lyles, who did motion capture for George the Gorilla in this movie, was given tips and tricks by Terry Notary, who did King Kong or Kong in Skull Island.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I like that there's kind of like a through fare of kaiju-ness between these movies. And then the guy who did George's motion capture would go on to do Kong in I think the next two, or maybe just Godzilla King of the Monsters, or not Kong, but Lyles would go on to appear. in the next Godzilla King of the Monsters. Oh, he did the middle head. That is what I'm looking at here, which is not Kevin. I think Kevin is like the right head, but is he did motion capture for both King Ghidorah's metal head and Rodan. So a little fair between Kong, this movie, and King of the Monsters, which, you know, this is right in between those two films as far as suitimation goes. And I got to be honest, George was great in this movie. And I think
George is fantastic. Like when he fakes his death at the end of the movie and then
it's very funny.
Gives him the finger. It's so funny.
I just think that as much as I, you know, spoiler warning, have enjoyed movies where they don't use motion capture and actor performance, like Godzilla Minus One, for example, they did not famously. When they do it, it really does work. Like King Ghidorah is, spoiler, great in King of the Monsters. Kong in the last couple movies has been really good. All the kaiju in those films have been really good. And it worked in this movie too. Worked in this film. So unlike last week's film, which I was very surprised audiences disliked more than critics, I knew this movie was never going to be, I mean, a critical darling. This would not be.
No.
Somehow this has got better critic reviews and audience than Pacific Rim Uprising. 51% for critics and 71% for audience. So
that doesn't surprise me too much because I've been around people. I was around other people when we saw this movie and like everyone was like extremely happy with it. I think not being connected to a prior film certainly helps, especially one directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Yes.
Also being based on a video game from so long ago that was, you know, this game hasn't had a story. Like, it's like, even the stuff I said earlier, it's like, when you put in your quarter, you are playing one of the three monsters. Your whole goal is to just cause as much destruction as possible. Like, that's the game. So
I've spent probably $100 in quarters on my entire life playing the game. I didn't really remember that they were humans turned into monsters. So it's like
one of those things that you see on the back of the cabinet or like it comes like after you beat the game, like you get a little story like you did in Mortal Kombat. Or if you're watching the arcade machine while no one's playing it, it will sometimes flash this stuff. That's what used to happen, is they would give you story stuff while no one was playing the game. Mortal Kombat specifically.
That was a potential idea, I think, when they, $7 or whatever producers first started adapting this film. That was something that they were going for. And it's one of like the many script revisions that they did, and probably rightfully so, to simplify a little bit. Because, I mean, at the very least, that's like three less characters you have to give some of the Rock screen time to. But the animals worked, you know, just fine, because you're here for the monster aspects of them. I mean, I don't know. It did work fine. Do you have a favorite scene from the film? There's a bunch of fun stuff in it.
I mean, everything with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, to be perfectly honest, like not even monster, like legit. And this is in the trailer, but his delivery of like, oh, no one told you about the 30-foot wolf. Like the way he delivers that line is so funny to me. Every single time I cackle, like I am not joking at all. I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan. But as I said, my favorite bit is when the Rock like looks over and sees that like we think that George has been killed. And you see that he's like got his eyelids slightly open. And he goes, did you open your eye? And then he turns around like the George just gave him the finger. And it's a great sequence, especially when he sees Kate and starts doing the little like hand in fist sex motion. Like it's so funny. Like honestly, more than any of the action sequences, like those little bits of comedy for me are fantastic. And again, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, like if it was just based off him alone, it would have been a 10 out of 10 movie for me.
Yeah, it's so
like I want him in a Godzilla film. Like I want a movie about, if they make a Rampage 2, I just want it to be about Jeffrey Dean Morgan and do that like that. Remember the trailer for the Fugitive sequel, U.S. Marshals, were like, I've never seen this before. And then the camera pans to like Tom Lee Jones. Well, I have. Like I want that moment with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Like you don't even have to have the Rock in it. Just like have that U.S. Marshals moment, which is a weird reference to make anyway. But like I just I love that. What about you? Did you have a favorite part?
Yeah, I do feel like this movie, it packs a lot of punch on its first watch through. I don't know if it's like, I can watch this movie anytime kind of thing, but it is a very fun popcorn-y film. And I think that's just what The Rock's summer blockbusters kind of do. And yeah, this one definitely did it. Like I said, it's crazy that this movie made nearly $500 million, $428 million box office. Yes, very, very well. Once again, talking about Pacific Rim Uprising last week, this movie came out like only a few weeks after it. And then a few weeks before like Avengers Endgame or something. It was around the same time of those films. So it's crazy that any of these were doing that well. I mean, before COVID, just like people went to the movies like 10 times for a week.
Like, right. Yeah.
But not so much anymore. As far as favorite sequences go, I really do like I mean, it's just like an action movie sequence. George bringing down the airplane. And it's so funny. The plane is absolutely like atomized. And they go looking around. It's like, his body's not here. He must be alive. It's like, no way. But yeah. That was one of my favorite parts of the film. It's like, yeah, no, we would see a giant monkey corpse like if he was here. He's obviously alive and he's walked off. Plane crash.
I disliked the siblings. Like, yes, they are very 80s corporate villains, but they are so stupidly executed. They are so one-dimensional and uninteresting. Like, okay, you have the brother who is, you know, kind of more interested in himself and is more just like, ooh, and you have the cold and calculating sister. And both are, I mean, I can't blame the actors. They were written this way. But like, one of the dumbest moments is when, like, George throws out the sister and you hear, oh, shit. But, like, it's so poorly done. Like, it's one of the worst looking scenes in the entire movie.
But it's also a reference to the video game where you eat people to
get health back.
And one of them was a woman in a red dress, very specifically, which she's wearing in that scene. It's like, why is this movie so devoted to this video game?
No, that part I liked. I disliked everything else about them. And they were distractingly bad. And again, it's not the actor's fault. This is just how they were written. I also dislike this non-ending where, like, it's just like, okay, we're going to go clean up now. And then it's like kind of ends. And I was like, okay, like, we don't get like, what are we going to do with George? I don't know. We'll figure it out. And I'm like, the epilogue with him like running around in like the African Sahara or something, or having his own little game preserve would have been nice. But like, no, we're just going to have him like the last shot is him like helping some people from a demolished parking garage. And I'm just like, this is this kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's a little underwhelming, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're like, oh, we'll figure it out in the sequel. We'll figure out what George is up to in the sequel, which will definitely happen. Once again, supposedly San Andreas 2 is in pre-production, but
as Jeffrey Dean Morgan is, you know, the earthquake scientist involved, then I will be okay.
Hilarious. Yeah, let's get to rating this bad boy. What do you got for your personal enjoyment, Miles? Sound like you had a good time.
No, despite all of my issues with this movie's a blast. Like, it's super, super fun. Again, if it was just based off Jeffrey Dean Morgan, this movie would be a 10 out of 10, but it's not. There are some, I mean, again, I wish we got more monster action. Like, we don't really get a lot of monster action outside of the Ralph taking out Deathstroke and his elite squad. We don't get much of anything until Chicago, which is like the last little bit of the movie. And when you have three kaiju who are around, we should have gotten some stuff of Izzy doing some stuff on the way to Chicago. We just got very little monster action. And so that does kind of knock a little bit. The bad 80s pastiche villains who didn't feel like 80s villains at all. They felt like lazy writing.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant by 80s, I guess. It's kind of
I mean, you're not wrong there. They bring the movie down, but the movie is also a lot of fun. The Rock is really fun. The story with George is really, really good. Jeffrey Dean Morgan rules. And also, when they get to Chicago, all of that stuff is fantastic. The special effects there are great. them demolishing things, fighting each other, all of that is fan, except for that moment where The Rock hops into that like Apache helicopter or whatever to shoot at Izzy, and you're just
he
like,
was special forces, Miles. It's cool.
No, I understand. It's not him. It's the machine and its activity. I was like, this is the dumbest thing in this entire movie. Like, this is like, I buy the space station more than I buy this sequence right here.
You gotta turn off your brain when you watch Rampage.
Absolutely. And that's the thing is, like, this does very, very accurately adapt a silly 80s monster arcade machine. And it is a lot of fun. Like, if you watch this movie, turn your brain off, have a beer, have some popcorn. Yeah, 8 out of 10 every day of the week. It's a very, very fun movie. What about you, bud?
Yeah, I'm pretty close to you here. Very fun movie. I think everyone should watch it at least once. Even if you've never heard of the video game, which is hilarious because it's one of the most faithful video game adaptations, you know, like to a fault almost.
Really is.
Even though these giant monsters look nothing like their game sprites, it's like, I guess the essence of it is really true. But yeah, it is just a very fun action movie. And this is only the second time I've rewatched it, but I had a very good time with it. Good being the optimal word. I'm giving this a 7 out of 10, which is good, not great on our scale.
Yeah, it's personal enjoyment. So that's your personal flavor.
It's hard to go back to back with Pacific Rim Uprising last week, where I had a lot more fun with that movie by comparison. But I will say the first time I watched this movie, I was pleasantly surprised because I did not have high expectations. But I will say in researching this film, Miles, I've found some dark and disturbing facts about its production. And there was at one point a mid or post credits sequence that involved Alexandra Daddario scuba diving in a bikini, and it was cut from the film. So I am
5 out of 10.
0 out of 10, garbage film. But no, it was one of those things where they're filming, there's going to be like a giant squid setting up.
Oh, that's cool.
A future movie. I was like, come on, you just go ahead and do it. Like, they filmed that scene. It's, you know,
how do you have a scene with Alexander Daddario and not have it in the movie? That's insane.
Well, that's the thing. It was like, you know, 2017 Daddario. She was as hot a commodity as you can.
And right.
Someone else was in the scene with her. It was like one of the Lonely Island guys that wasn't Andy Samberg. And it was just like a very short.
Like Akiva?
I think it was Akiva, yes. Husband.
That makes it even worse. Now it's a negative 5 out of 10.
Well, I think you could see it on the DVD, but that is like just the most Rampage thing ever. It's like gratuitous scuba diving in a bikini shot at the end of the movie. It's something I honestly that should be in one of our upcoming films, The Meg, if it's not already.
But right.
I'm giving it a 7 out of 10. I think that's pretty fair for my enjoyment.
You know what's wild is this was at the time the best reviewed live action video game film in history.
That's
on Rotten Tomatoes.
Not a lot of competition. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Silent Hill is pretty great until Detective Pikachu.
Yeah. Detective Pikachu blew it out of the water. And then Sonic, I think, has done really well since.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, I'm talking at the time. Yeah. Sonic's fantastic.
For the technical aspect, I do think this movie pretty much fires on all cylinders when you're comparing it either to a video game movie or a summer action flick. And it's something that I think just a lot of kaiju movies don't get to be very often. But mm-hmm. I think the dialogue is great. I think the action sequences are great, even if they're not like necessarily kaiju action sequences. The special effects are very good. The cast that leads us through all these set pieces, you're in love with them. I really enjoyed them. So I think this is a very technically...
You say his name. Give him his just desserts.
JDM. I think this is a very technically successful film. So I am going to give it an 8 out of 10. You know, it's not, you know, it's not pure cinema or whatever, but it is a lost art, like the summer blockbuster. And it's like, you know, if the 98 Godzilla had like this level of technical excellence, I feel like it'd be a much more rewatchable film. What about you, Miles, for your technical aspect?
It's tough because there's so much of this film I like. I think the monsters look great in general. I think the the monster action is fantastic. I think the general story is solid. The script is fine. Like you said, there's some great character stuff. There's some good one-liners. There's some good moments. But I do think the script underserves the kaiju themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ralph gets this one great moment of kind of hunting people. We don't get a lot of good stuff from Lizzie, and we don't get a lot of great, like, evil George.
It seemed like they wanted to keep Lizzie a surprise, but I'm pretty sure she was in the trailer.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's the thing, is like, if you were familiar at all with Rampage, and at the time, even that was still like 18 years old. Since the last movie. But like, you know, there's three major kaiju. So it's like, we know there's going to be, you know, all three of them here. I do think that the script does absolutely underserve the monsters. And that does hurt it for me in the kaiju sense. I don't love that, like, the movie just kind of ends, and I don't love there are villains. That said, I do think it's a very funny script. I think all the stuff with George and Davis is fantastic. Obviously, Agent Russell should have been nominated for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for being Jeffrey Dean Morgan. But yeah, no, I think this is got a lot of solid stuff, but I'm kind of with you. I'm going to hit this a little harder, because I do think the script does really suffer. I do also think it's kind of like last week we talked about how the pacing of Pacific Rim Uprising really helped lift it up. I think the pacing here kind of hurts it. Like it kind of slogs a little bit, spins its wheels. And that, yeah, it's weird, because like there are moments where I'm just in love with this movie. And then there's moments where I'm like, all right, let's get crack-a-lack. And like, I don't need to see these two Goombas like sneak around and steal a helicopter. Like, I just do not care. Like that whole Mickey Mouse Club sequence, I can do without. So I'm going to hit a little harder than you. I'm not going super low. It's a 7 out of 10. I think the script could use a lot more work, despite the fact that I agree the monster stuff is fantastic. The action sequences are great. The movie is gloriously stupid in both good and bad ways, but I do think that script needs some real work.
Finally, our last metric is how important this is as a kaiju movie to the entire canon. And as we're recording this, we're getting close to 200 kaiju movies, you know, so we have a lot to compare it to. I'm mostly comparing it to stuff within the same decade, you know,
right,
either end of it. You know, we're not comparing this to 1954's Godzilla in this aspect. But I think as an action movie, I think of this movie as an action movie first. It's a very good action movie. I would say even a great action movie. It is a very, very good video game movie second. Like you said, best reviewed video game movie at the time, which is hilarious. And I think of it as a kaiju flick last. It's not a bad kaiju flick. It is fun enough. The monsters do have these slightly mutated powers. The video game is based on, you know, it's definitely references to King Kong, and some people, you know, would say Lizzie is your Godzilla stand-in. I always thought that growing up, but the video game designer Brian Colan said it was actually probably more based on the alien creature from 20 Million Miles to Earth. He was a big fan of American movies and didn't really like Godzilla when he was a kid. So I thought that was interesting. But that being said, I don't remember the werewolf dude having a glide ability in the video game. So it's like, when that comes up, it's like, what? Okay, I guess.
Oh, that's 100% the silly science of this movie.
Yeah. I will say, you know, they made George an albino, and one of the reasons they said was to make it different from King Kong. Cause you know, obviously Kong Skull Island was out the same year.
It's a year before, I think. Smart move, be honest.
A smart move, but he acts so similar to King Kong and does the exact same thing that the original King Kong does, has like the same height, basically, and climbs a building.
Yeah, he doesn't make sex references and flip people off.
Hey, if King Kong had lived long enough, who knows what heights he could have actually climbed to. So yeah, I think, action movie, very good video game movie, and just a good kaiju flick. So I'm giving it a 6 out of 10 for its importance.
Yeah, I mean, I want to give it a higher score, but if I'm thinking of like actual importance, like this doesn't really offer anything. other than, hey, it's a really good time. Like, mm-hmm. you're going to have a lot of fun, but it's not, doesn't have anything to say. It doesn't have anything to really add on to the genre, which is perfectly fine. And again, a 6 out of 10 is not a bad score. I mean, it's, no. It's good. Like, it is, I mean, that's its whole definition. It's good. So I'm right there with you. I think that this is a really solid action film. It's a great video game adaptation. And yeah, is it really a kaiju movie? Yeah. It's got some monsters in it, and they're big, but they're not really kaiju. But this is also informed by the subgenre. If someone was asking me about this movie, I would definitely say, yeah, check it out. You're gonna have a good time. It's a turn your brain off popcorn movie, but it's nothing to really write home about otherwise. Yeah. Outside of Jeffrey Dean Morgan, which, you know, otherwise
write home immediately to your mama about JDM.
Yeah,
you know, it's so funny.
But no, I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I think a 6 out of 10 is very fair.
Boy, I mean, we talked so long about these scores, and we're basically giving this movie the exact same 7 out of 10, which I think is well-deserved, and that's pretty much in line with audience reactions. It has a 71% rate on the popcornometer. I feel like we usually fall a little closer between the critics and the audience sometimes, but that's usually how I use Rotten Tomatoes, is like, try and average because
right, it's an aggregate. Yeah,
you can't trust all critics, you can't trust all audiences, but like, I do like that they're two different scores there. But yeah, we're averaging very easily 2 7 out of 10s together for the podcast, making the podcast final total 7 out of 10. Makes perfect sense. All is right in the world. Originally I was like, man, is Rampage as good as Pacific Rim Uprising? And
you know, it's so funny because like the first time I watched this movie, I was I was actually less enthusiastic on it the second time I watched it, because like if I had watched this the first time and done this podcast, I might have given it a much higher score because I was so excited about it.
That's the thing. I think people should watch this at least once, because I think that first time you're like, oh, wow. You know,
yeah, there's
like
a
surprise
fun.
Factor. Yeah, very surprising. Right. Well, I guess that's going to do it, Miles. Where can folks find us if they want to talk Rampage? Where can they direct their letters to get Rampage 2 Total Destruction made?
If you want to talk about Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you can email us at KaijuVersusHistory@gmail.com. You can reach us at BlueSky@KaijuVersusHistory. You can visit our website, KaijuVersusHistory.com. Please rate and review our show, comment, share with your friends. Let us know what you think. Check out our Letterboxd account to see our reviews and our list of films. But most importantly, go to our sister podcast website, Cosmic Crit, CosmicCrit.com. Click on that Discord button. There's a channel for Kaiju Versus History, and you can talk to us in real time. Tell us your favorite Jeffrey Dean Morgan moments. Let us know what you think. But most importantly, Patrick, what are we doing next week?
Oh, boy. Thank you, Miles. We're going to catch you and our listeners back here 1 week from today to get back to the Godzilla Netflix anime trilogy with film right in the middle, with the big, big G finally having been revealed at the end of the last film. We've got a deepening lore to come to us in this ever-expanding sci-fi universe. But will the second film in this trilogy bring the series average rating up? Or is this going to be another albatross around the three films next? We'll find out along with us next time and tune in for History versus Godzilla City on the Edge of Battle.